All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
Here we are, alive and well.
Did it. Episode 71.
I feel like I'm living in a Monty Python skit. I'm just walking around, like, people are like, how you doing? And I'm like, I'm not dead yet.
Oh, man. If this heat does not kill off this virus, I don't know what will.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, for sure. It's been hot as blazes out. It's no good. It's no bueno.
That's what I'm saying.
So I've been super busy this week, David.
Tell me about it.
We're going to kick things off right before we get into the big news of the year.
Yeah,
I think this is the headline of the year.
Is it Kayla's prom?
Well, I was just going to say, before we get into that, the Ketchum family is super excited. Like, we're ramping up, man. We're having senior activities. We're having senior pictures. Getting ready to, like, film. Like, our school district is filming a walkthrough, and then we're going to have the whole graduation, and we're starting to have, like, baccalaureate planning. And so, big shout out to Kayla and all the seniors out there, none of whom listen to the Penn Cinema Podcast. But we'll give them all a big shout out anyway, because we love them and they're great kids. And, you know, it's next week. We won't say congratulations yet, because they still haven't graduated.
Yeah.
You know, it's still time to screw it up.
And you still have enough time to not say congratulations. Like, you just
congratulations. Congratulations, as they say in RuPaul's Drag Race. So anyway, the big news, I think, we'll get right into the news here, if that's all right. The big news, I think, is the big news of the year. I know the pandemic, a lot of people would say, oh, that's pretty big news.
Not compared to this.
All right, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, are you sitting down?
Hold on.
All right, here it is. The big news of the year. The Penn Cinema Drive-In is up and running.
Get out of town.
Now, let me tell you something, because, you know, anybody who's on Facebook can look at the pictures and see that it's up and running. And I'm not going to tell you stuff on this show that you can't get off of there. But let me just tell you, have you ever been on, like, a wild and crazy trip? And then you get home and your friends are like, how was your trip? And you try to tell them, but you know that they can't possibly understand what you're trying to explain to them that you've been through on these last 10 days of your wild trip. And that's how it has been for me and Drew for the last 10 days, because it has been an odyssey that words cannot describe. Every single corner, every single turn, we were met with some kind of, as they say in Where Brother, Where Art Thou Brother, or where that movie, fear not the obstacles in your path. At every turn, there was an obstacle that we had to face and deal with. And the best was my favorite. I mean, there was too many to choose from, but my favorite was when we needed a special sort of electric cord. You couldn't just use an extension cord. There's a special extension cord that we had to buy for the projector. So we buy it. Drew buys it. We wanted to test the projector one afternoon or one evening, but we couldn't, because we couldn't get power out to the projector. So fine. So we tested it inside, indoors. The whole system worked. We're in Theater 6. Everything works great. And we're like, all right, well, this isn't the end of the world. We ordered the cord, so it'll arrive tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow night, we'll bring out the projector and check it out. So this was like a few nights ago. So the next night, we arrive on site to bring the projector out to test it. And the extension cord is like, like a foot short. So we were able to, like, make it work by putting the projector further than we would want just for the testing of it. But it was like a scene out of Christmas Vacation where Clark had the two extension cords and he was like, So then the next, like the highlight of this incredible odyssey that we were on to make this drive-in open was the night, this one, I guess it would have been Thursday. The first show was supposed to be Saturday. So Thursday night, we wanted to do a test. And, but it was raining and it was like windy and I forget what the problem was, but for some reason we couldn't test it. Maybe that was the night we were a foot short. But anyway, the point is, in the evening we couldn't test it. So knowing that there were thunderstorms Friday night and the first show Saturday night, we were really out of options. So Drew and I said to each other, and this is what we did, Saturday morning, we will get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Because it's not only dark at night, it's also dark in the morning before the sun comes up. So we did. We got up at 3:30. We arrived on site so that we could run the projector in the dark and frame up the size and everything would be just great. Because as you know, we like things to look good.
Yeah.
So we get out there. Drew and I are out there. We're all giddy. We're all happy with ourselves. Oh, this is going to be great. We get the projector in place, get the extension cord. You know, it's still short, but it works. Get it all set up, and then we go to blow up the screen. So we started blowing up the screen at about 3:40 and in the morning, 3:40 a.m., we start blowing up the screen. At 6:45, we quit because the sun had come up. We were like, well, we can't. We just spent 3 hours killing ourselves, pulling all kinds of muscles we didn't even know we had, trying to wrestle this screen into position. And finally, we were like, well, even if we do get it up, then we're not going to be able to watch it because of the sunlight. So I go home, I get showered and something to eat, and I run up to Ephrata where I'm performing or hosting a private show. Then I come back at 11 where it's the age old story of like many hands make light work. You know what I mean? So while during that intermission, we called a few of our friends, a few guys, and we had a crew of like six of us. And at 11 o'clock, by 11:05, the screen was up. It looked beautiful. It was perfect. So the funny thing about this story is that night when we showed movies to the public who had paid money to be there, that was the first time that we saw the movie on the side of the building. You talk about a stress level.
Yeah, that's a gamble.
It was unbelievable. You got to have ice in your veins, you know, but we did it, you know, it worked. We did it. It looked great. And we tweaked it a little bit after the first movie before the second feature. And then during the credits of the second feature, which was Star Wars, during the credits, we pushed the tower back a little bit and got the picture even better framed. So people who come out on Sunday night, it's the kind of thing like they probably won't even notice, but technically the picture will be even better tonight than it was opening night. So nice. That was the journey that we've been on. The Penn Cinema Drive-In is now up and running. And everything went on without a hitch. So I guess that's the important thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's exciting. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. I rode my bike around the parking lot and chit-chatted with almost everybody that was there. They were all in their tailgates and hanging out the back of their minivans. And it was really, really cool. It was really nice to get out and see our customers again and chit-chat with them and talk to the kids and talk to the families. And yeah, it was a special night. And I don't want to be over dramatic about it, but I'll include it with my list of like favorite milestones. You know, the opening of the theater in 06, the opening of the IMAX, of course, Wilmington and Huntington Valley, but also opening night of Star Wars, the Star Wars premiere. That was an epic all-time night. And I'll include this, you know, right on that list of like, you know, it was a big milestone, probably won't change the course of history, but it was a big deal for us. So we're excited. Penn Cinema Drive-In, up and running.
That's awesome. So is it every night or is it just weekends?
No, it's every night. And because the sun doesn't go down until like 8:45, we really couldn't even start the trailers till like 8:50. So you're really looking at like a 9 o'clock start time by the time it's dark enough to see the movie. So we're probably going to stick with single shows from here on out until it gets darker earlier.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does it get darker earlier until the fall?
Well, June 21st is the longest day of the year.
Okay.
So every day after June 21st, it gets darker earlier.
Okay.
So we won't really notice it until late July, August. But yeah, once we get into the fall on a September Sunday night or a September Saturday night when there's no really good content out, we'll run the drive-in. It'll be great.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So that's the plan.
So what's going on with these private shows? How they working out?
Well, I posted on our Facebook page a couple times. You're talking about the Ephrata Theater, the new main. The competitive advantage that the new main has over every other movie theater, like all the big multiplexes, is that we're so darn small. We can kind of do stuff and, you know, just test it one night at a time and sort of see what works and what doesn't. I posted it on Facebook, but now that I saw how well it went and how positive it was, I'm going to really push it again this week and try to sell some more shows. Cause the idea is $150. You pick from a list of movies. So I'll book, like, let's say 5 or 10 classic movies. We had the original Despicable Me. We had Minions. So you sort of choose from a little list, and like people brought out, like one group had like 10 people. It was like a brother and a sister each who had like their family of kids. So you're bringing out like a bunch of people. It ends up being pretty affordable. And I space them out so that you're only in the lobby with your, call it like a quarantine. Everybody's wearing face masks and gloves, and obviously me and the staff are. They come in, they see their movie, you know, they're in there by themselves. And it was really, really well received. And I think I'm going to keep doing it, maybe even after, you know, certainly until we're like absolutely like into the green. Yeah. And, you know, maybe this might be an all summer thing. This might be how we see movies in Ephrata all summer, because also from a management point of view for a small theater, it worked out really well. Because one of the things that's frustrating about Ephrata, and you don't ever see this at a larger theater, but in a smaller theater like Ephrata, it's entirely possible that you have a 4 o'clock show and either nobody comes to it or like one person comes to it.
Right.
You know, and the math doesn't work on that. You can't pay staff and pop popcorn that's going to get wasted and make pretzels that are going to get wasted. You can't have a proper movie experience teed up and ready to go and then have nobody come. Now, don't get me wrong, it doesn't happen very often, but it does happen sometimes. So to have, you know, to know that you have an audience, it's just such a better model. It's just interesting. I'm going to keep playing with it in Ephrata. I talked to a couple of regular customers to get their feedback. You know, so we're going to make some little tweaks and things that try to improve it. But yeah, so I think the drive-in is up and running and Ephrata is open for private shows.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm psyched.
Very, very cool. Very cool. Well, you know what else is up and running?
Tell me.
The United Kingdom. It's up and running and authorizing media companies like Warner Brothers and Netflix to resume film and TV production, all while sporting new safety training and guidelines. You're wondering what this directly affects?
Right.
It could be the Batman can start filming there, and Disney's Little Mermaid remake is set
nice.
To. Those are two big ones that this will be directly affecting immediately. So just like New Zealand was, we talked about earlier.
Right.
Avatar, finally. So the United Kingdom is opening. But the difference here is the United Kingdom as a country, or set of countries, or whatever you want to call it, is not at the same stage that New Zealand is in, like, reopening.
Oh, gotcha.
Because New Zealand is, like, the virus is, like, almost gone there. Supposedly, from what I'm hearing.
Right.
Well, while Great Britain is still struggling in some parts. So.
Now, David, I don't want to take all the credit.
Yeah.
But isn't it a little bit of a coincidence that yours truly is featured? That might be strong of a word, but we'll go with it. We'll say that I was featured in a radio show that was heard by dozens of people around the world.
By multiple sixes of people.
Definitely pairs of people. Maybe at least a pair. So I'm featured in this wildly popular radio segment.
Yeah.
And then just moments later.
Literal moments.
Like the next morning.
Yeah.
The United Kingdom's like, you know, we heard that guy. That damn Yankee
and he on BBC.
I think the king of England was like, yo, hey.
The king of England?
Well, doesn't the queen have a wife? I mean, a husband? How does that work?
He's not a king, though.
He's not?
No.
Okay. No. I got to rewatch The Crown.
I don't think he is, at least. I think he's like, I don't know what he is. But anyway.
No, you're right. I was just being funny. But yeah, definitely the queen was like, by the way, have you ever seen the meme with the actual queen of England giving two fingers?
Yeah.
That's like my favorite. I have that pinned to my desktop. I'm just waiting for the right moment to use it. I think that's great news. And, I'm excited for the Batman. I'm glad that's cranking up a little bit. The Little Mermaid is whatever, but yeah, that's great. I think that's good news, and I also think it's smart. Like, we need to move forward. We need to be safe. That has to be the first most important thing. But you do need to, you know, you do need to find ways to go back, to come back.
Yeah. Good to go back to your star-studded radio wave production.
Yeah, yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, yeah. My mom wanted to send you like all the congratulations at being an international superstar, to which then she followed up with telling me, you got to pick up your game.
Yeah. I don't know how you're going to top it, David.
I didn't realize I was in competition on this one, but.
Definitely.
Yeah, apparently.
I just assumed we were competition. That's the only reason I begged them to have me on the air.
That makes a lot of sense.
You know where I could see you on the radio?
Where's that?
I would like to see you a featured guest on the Howard Stern Show. I mean, I'm not a fan. I don't listen to Howard Stern, but I know a lot of people do. And I think you ought to be like his Dune expert. Because every major radio program has an in-house Dune expert.
Right, right. Yeah. I like how you're like, I think you should be on the show. I'd never hear you if you were.
Right. Wait, so that's not the expectation, is it? I mean, I have lots of friends that are like in the news and they write articles, and I always make sure like people know, like, I hope the expectation isn't that I actually read it. Or that I like listened to the stuff that you showed me. It's super cool. Congratulations.
Oh, but
I love you dearly, but no, listen, let me tell you something just for the record, to set the record straight.
Oh.
You go on the Howard Stern Show, I'm going to listen. I would 100% listen to you. So there's one listener.
Yeah, at least have one. I know one person listen to the show.
All right, speaking of one person, you know who's a pretty special one person is that Ryan Gosling.
A.K.A. The Smolder.
Apparently, he's in talks to be the Wolfman, and he's behind the big pitch for it. In other words, I guess, so what are we saying here? Ryan Gosling is hanging around L.A.,
yeah,
right? Sipping lattes, looking pretty, you know, playing jazz, doing his thing, hanging out. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to be the Wolfman. I'm going to make this movie. Like, when you read the headline says Ryan Gosling is in talks to be the Wolfman.
Right.
But then you find out, oh, he wants to make the movie and there's no director. So really, Ryan Gosling has decided he wants to make a movie about Wolfman. He wants to star in it.
Right.
And now he's looking for a director.
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently he wants the movie to be kind of like Nightcrawler.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So that who was in that? He wasn't in that one. Who?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. Apparently that was one of his like babies too. So look at you knowing names.
I'm not just a pretty face, David.
So I noticed your shirt there. And I can't remember if I sent it to you or not, but one thing that said, can you believe we've been in quarantine for almost the full length of a Grateful Dead song?
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So speaking of obvious news.
Yeah.
Sonic 2 has been officially greenlit.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those things like it did well. So to think that Sonic wasn't going to get a sequel is kind of ridiculous.
Is there any news on releasing the Snyder cut of Sonic?
No, there should be. I have news on the Snyder cut. Because you know how we were talking about like how much of this movie exists and how much is it going to be added in? And we're going to get into that kind of stuff maybe. I don't know when we talk about our review this week. But turns out that the movie wasn't filmed and it's still 90% it's 90% in the head. So some of the scenes are just going to be like storyboards. Like it'll be full movie and then a scene will come up and it'll just be animated storyboard for that scene with like voiceover work. And or at the most we'll have fully animated like CG versions of the characters because they're not refilming.
All right, I have two things to say to you.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't believe you. Second of all, no, I don't think, it's not that I think you're lying. I think that whatever source you got that from was probably, you know, fake news. But if you're right, if that's correct, then I'm going to go on record and say that's the stupidest thing I've heard all year. Where'd you get it from? Like the New York Times or some?
Yeah. I was actually talking to Scott Snyder. Zack Snyder. Yeah.
All right. What about New Mutants?
Okay. Wait.
Did New Mutants come out yet?
No.
All right. Will you do me a favor and just tell me when it comes out? I'm worried that it's going to be so stupid that it, like I won't even notice, and then one day you'll be talking about like, well, remember when New Mutants came out? And I'll be like, what?
That come out.
So wake me when it's time to watch New Mutants, because we're watching it at home, right? Are we like watching it on our smartphones?
No, my man.
So we're watching it at the theater?
There's like, this movie has to come out in the theaters. It's part of like...
Oh, thank God.
It's contractually obligated to come out in theaters.
So basically, the New Mutants is equal to SpongeBob and Christopher Nolan.
Yes. Basically.
So, that's the trio of the year.
Exactly. So New Mutants was set, we reported, I think it was August or something, it's supposed to come out. But this movie was filmed like 4 years ago.
Right.
But Josh Boone has now said he's the director. He's so happy with New Mutants, this movie he filmed, you know, 25 years ago. That's he's so happy with this movie that he fully believes he will be able to finish out a trilogy of New Mutant films.
I'm sure he's right.
Yeah. I mean,
it's of course, like you will.
The characters, the actors have aged, you know, 10 years.
All right. Well,
other things, let's talk about something else that's really out there.
I like this guy.
Yeah. Tom Cruise is planning to shoot a movie completely in space,
which is nothing new for him.
I didn't say headspace.
Oh, outer space.
Outer space.
That changes a lot.
I think that's a cool idea. I think it's really weird, or really going to be really hard to do. But hey, Tom Cruise, why not?
Okay, I agree with you. It's a cool idea, and it's going to be hard to do. And I don't say this casually, like it's no big deal, because it's definitely a big deal. But people who have a budget, like we have seen stuff that has been shot in space. It's always been like a documentary.
Yeah.
Right? So you're basically taking that same budget, that same plan, and doing the same thing except putting a narrative over it.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm on board. I can't wait. I'm 100% going to follow this story, and I'll be the first one to see the movie and support it and promote it. But it does make sense. Like, we've gone to outer space to film documentaries. why not just do the same thing and put a story over it?
Right. I think the difference is when you film a documentary, those people are performing, generally performing a task that they're there to do. Like they have a purpose to be in space. Like that, like when you think of the things that are in space, like ISIS,
I gotcha.
You know, like all that, all the rooms there serve like a purpose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you film a movie, you're now taking up space for something that is not the purpose intended for the thing up there. That's the complex part of it for me. It's like they're going to be taking up space, limited amount of space.
Right.
That should be, is probably needed to be used for something else. I don't know. Maybe.
I like how you talk like this hasn't been done. This has been done. Can I remind you, please?
Yeah, please.
Of the Muppets classic Pigs in Space.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I forgot.
Pigs in Space. Wow. That's where the groundbreaking happened.
You're right. I didn't even think about that.
David, just because they're pigs, they're people too. Come on. Don't harsh on my boys.
My full mistake.
Right.
Hey, can we take a minute to just, can you listen to this story?
Okay.
Two cowboys.
Okay.
All right. So there's two cowboys in the desert. They're both like starving and dying of thirst, right? And they see a tree with bacon hanging off of it. And the one cowboy yells, "Oh my God, it's a bacon tree." And he runs over and just as he's about to get to the tree, he gets riddled with gunshots. And he falls down. And with his dying breath, he turns around and he says, "It wasn't a bacon tree. It was a ham bush."
That's good stuff.
There you go. I'm just glad I took a moment of your time to give you that information.
I want to make sure that you know that I will be absolutely repeating that joke.
Better than I did, I'm sure.
With frequency. Yeah. That's a great joke. And well, you know how I'll start it.
You probably heard about this in the paper, right?
Right. That's how I start all my best jokes. You probably remember this. It was in the press. You remember in the paper? All right, moving on. We got trailers to talk about, or trailer to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, this movie is called The Wild. And it's a documentary about, I believe, the Thames or something. It's kind of hard to figure out.
That's a classic Penn Cinema podcast moment right there, ladies and gentlemen. Just cut out that clip. We can't even. We can't even bring ourselves to nail down the fundamental, the one basic premise of the movie. We can't even.
I watched the whole trailer too.
I hope it's about like a lake.
Oh my God. Well, it's about preserving water wildlife and how pollution in the rivers and stuff diminish. Yeah.
You don't know. You totally lost all credibility whatsoever.
You want me to go read the synopsis?
No, I don't.
Okay, good.
I don't think anybody cares.
Yeah, nobody does. It was the only trailer that wasn't for a Netflix or Hulu or something this week. So
I want to say something before we get into movie review.
Okay.
Because I forgot a little piece of news. Because I know our listeners like to hear a little bit of the movie business, a little behind the scenes stuff.
Right.
So as you and I are sitting here today, which I think is May 31st, it looks like Penn Cinema Riverfront down in Wilmington is going to open like momentarily, like next week.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So the challenge. So first of all, that's news.
Yeah.
For our listener in Wilmington.
all half of them.
Right. I just say that there's a listener in Wilmington just to put it out there. Like, if I keep saying it, eventually maybe it'll be true.
Speak power into it, right?
That's what I'm saying. Okay. So, anyway, first of all, that's news. It's interesting. Penn Cinema in Delaware might reopen within the week.
Wow.
But now, what's interesting is my job, as you know, and I think our listeners know by now, I come in on Monday mornings and I book movies for the following Friday, right?
Yeah.
What the hell am I supposed to book? Like this Friday, next weekend, you're going to go to Penn Cinema Riverfront on Saturday night to see a movie.
What is it going to be?
What do I do? I mean, I know the answer to the question. I'm going to – all the studios have – or Disney has made none of their content available, but everybody else has – just to clarify, Disney has made content available for drive-ins only, but they have no indoor content available. So – but all the other studios have like published like lists and packages of content. So I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go through and pick those. I'll probably do the Lord of the Rings trilogy for Top 10 Sarah. You know, I'll probably do a couple classics for some of our listeners. And, but like, it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out with, you know, to what degree people come out to see it. I think we're going to have like discounted tickets and I don't know. I mean, we're going to have to talk a lot about it. Drew and I will be talking about it tonight while the drive-in is running. But yeah, it's an interesting situation.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's some big news. All right, so we covered the news, we covered the one trailer, and now we're up to movie review.
Yeah, so now it's time to talk about Lord of the Rings, the extended editions. Now, word on the street is Captain Busy Pants over here. No, just kidding.
Captain Busy Pants.
Yeah, Penn didn't get a chance to watch all three, but he watched two, which is, I got to give you props. They're long movies. So it wasn't, it wasn't like watching two was the equivalent of watching three regular movies. So I'll give you props, but... Now, you don't think you realize the difference between these and the theatrical release?
I'm going to struggle to remember, but I will tell you there was a couple times, especially in the first one, where I started thinking, I don't remember. I feel like it wasn't a whole new scene. It was more like additional time spent on a given scene.
Yeah.
Am I correct? Is that how it went?
Some of it, yeah.
I especially remember some dialogue with Sam in the first one. Was that one of the big additions? Was some time spent with Sam
to kind of ferment their friendship, and it also plants the seeds for his romantic relationship with Rosie.
Gotcha.
It puts that in there. There's also a song added, which the books have a lot of singing in them. So there's a song with Merry and Pippin dancing. That was added. It was extended from 179 minutes to 223 minutes. This is the Fellowship of the Ring. So these movies, when the extended editions came out, they were, it's different from like when we talk about the Snyder Cut or like a normal director's cut, where like, well, this is the movie we made. This is the movie I kind of wanted to make. Where Lord of the Rings was more like, here is the movie. And then the studio was like, no, it can only be this long. And
right.
Then they went in and made it shorter. They cut out what they could. And when you watch the theatrical releases, and if that's all you know, then they kind of make sense. But if you watch them and then you watch the extended edition, you realize how much you were missing in the story, how much nuance isn't there, how even in the theatrical versions – as the movies go on, there are things that are just not explained because like their explanations were more in the extended editions. For instance, we'll get into the Two Towers where they added like a whole thing with Gollum at the beginning.
Mm.
Right.
Right.
Like his origin, like that's not, I don't think that's in the original.
Yeah. At all.
So it's, we also get in the Fellowship of the Ring, we get Liv Tyler and Viggo Mortensen's characters, like their love story.
Right.
They spend more time with them. The whole scene with the elves about how they're leaving Middle Earth was added. That wasn't in the theatrical. When Galadriel gives them their gifts, that scene was improved upon. So some of that stuff was left out.
Which scene? I don't remember that. The gifts?
Yeah, when they leave Lothlorien, Galadriel gives, she gives two of the hobbits knives. She gives Sam rope.
Right.
Yeah. Like, and then Gimli gets three of her hair. He asks for one strand of hair, and she gives him three. So, and these magical items, they come into play in the later films. And if there's no introduction, you wouldn't know that they were using magical items or anything like that, because they just, they just have knives or they have their cloaks or whatever. So, to me, I feel like there's no other way to watch these films.
Yeah.
Other than the extended edition. And the length is really hard to get people in, but they just add so much to the film. And when I was rewatching these, I just realized I don't know if there's been any series of films, or if there will be any other series of films, that has had as great of an impact on my life as the Lord of the Rings movies have.
Mm.
I just remember just the standing in line at midnight for these movies, and then doing the same thing for extended edition stuff. I think I've seen these movies in the theater the most out of like anything. And I remember getting the extended editions like on DVD for my birthday, like for 3 years in a row. They came like, I got the ones that came with like statues and stuff.
Mm.
They were like bookends, and oh, they're so cool. And then just watching the, do you have copies of these? Did you rent them?
I rented them.
Yeah. The actual physical copies come with like several discs worth of appendices, just like getting into how the film was made. And that stuff is not just like a normal behind the scenes stuff. They like had a documentary crew basically make a documentary for each movie on how it was made. And it's like hours and hours of content. And I've watched, you know, at one point in my life, I watched through all that stuff, and it's absolutely amazing. Gives you a whole different grasp on how things were made, between practical effects and miniatures. And then they created bigatures, which was a step between the two, for sizing, and just how they did like perspective things, and how like when they're sitting in the cart in the Fellowship of the Ring, how Bilbo is like 5 feet behind Gandalf.
Right.
They look like they're sitting next to each other.
Right. You
know, so that they look smaller. Anyway, so what are your thoughts on at least the first one, The Fellowship of the Ring?
No, I mean, I'll say about both of them that I kind of agree with you. I guess you and I sort of made the decision to keep trilogies and franchises off of our top 10 list, but I sort of agree with, like, I was reminded of how incredible these movies are, you know, and I often overlook them when I'm looking back at trilogies and franchises. And I feel like I have no reason for saying that. It just sort of happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting thing. And so I really appreciated the chance to rewatch them. And, I also was wondering, I couldn't help but wonder if these movies came out in, like, just pick a random date, 2018, would they have been broken up into part one and part two, like Fellowship of the Ring part one, Fellowship of the Ring part two? And what actually got me thinking about that was I forgot how suddenly Fellowship of the Ring ends.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you know what's coming, you know what's coming, but you are like I kind of wanted to see him go into Mordor, you know,
yeah,
like go all the way inside. And then, you know, they parted ways, and that was the end of the movie.
I remember when it ended, people were like, what? But it was still really powerful.
Yeah, totally.
One of the things that these movies, like the music is just amazing. And just the end, like even when that end, that stop, and then the music picks up, and you're just like, oh, I want so much more of this.
Right.
And then each movie has a song in the credits written by a different female artist, and they're just absolutely, like, just as much part of the movie as anything else. I actually wound up sitting through the full credits on each movie just because I love the music. And it's, to me, I remember sitting in the theater, sitting through to listen to the music, and because, you know, some of the stuff was not in the film, the music that's in the credits, and it's insane. It's so good. I went down to Baltimore to see the symphonic production of Lord of the Rings, where they had the scenes up on a screen, and then the symphony played the music live. It was amazing.
I bet. So you're hardcore like that. You're definitely like hardcore. You'll take a road trip to go see something cool like that. Like that's legit, man. I props to you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff added in here, especially in the last one, which reaches 4 hours and 11 minutes. it adds an entire extra hour of footage to the movie. I don't know if you're going to actually finish out watching or not.
I definitely am. Okay. I wanted to say, in case Top 10 Sarah is listening, like, absolutely, like, it's a big commitment, but I'm 100% going to finish that out. Yeah, I'm psyched. I'm into it.
Yeah, it was a lot to put into. I thought about it midweek. I was like, man, I don't know if we would have done it if we were like, let's watch one a week. But
right,
it would have been interesting to have been like, maybe this week we'll watch both versions and compare them or something. But that's also a lot of commitment for
right
for something too. So yeah, I love these movies. If you haven't seen the extended editions, I implore you to, next time you feel like watching Lord of the Rings, definitely go that route instead of theatrical, and you'll realize that there's quite a bit more to these movies.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Let's move on to next week. We're gonna do Moneyball, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. I did post the video I spoke of last week on our Facebook page that convinced me that I wanted to see a sports movie. And Black Bumper Becky put on a comment. She said, I'm 2 minutes in and I'm already sold. I got to watch this movie. She said, I'm not going to finish this because I'm not going to give some internet guy 20 minutes of my time.
Somebody else unrelated to the show texted me the scene where he's like, what's the problem?
Oh, in Moneyball.
Yeah. Have you seen that? Do you know that clip?
I may, but I don't remember. I mean, I actually have not seen this movie at all.
Yeah, you'll know the scene. We won't get into it. But yeah, I'm looking. Moneyball is on the short list of movies where I was aware of it as a book, and I loved the book and read the book a couple times and talked about it. And then I was really happy, like, oh, Brad Pitt's making this movie, Moneyball. And so that was cool. I can't wait. I haven't watched it in years, but yeah, I'm on board. I can't wait.
Yeah.
So next week is Moneyball.
So what you're saying is you've read Moneyball several times.
Yes.
But you're unable to read Dune one time.
That's correct.
Okay, just so that we're clear.
Right. Well, I have a couple more marathon books that I need to reread.
Yeah, and somebody will give you another one, and then they'll go on the list, and yeah.
All right, so we got some great top 10 lists in the mail, and we'll start with our boy Connor.
Yeah,
Connor has been talked about. He's been featured on this show before. You remember, he's a younger guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he wrote in imploring me to play Raiders of the Lost Ark at Penn Cinema. Yeah, so I have not forgotten. Now, we've been shut down for a few months, but I still have a little sticky note on my desk that says, Connor, Raiders. So we'll get there. But I thought that his top 10 list was really interesting. And I'm just going to read it the way he wrote it. I wonder if he has the numbers reversed, because he has Raiders of the Lost Ark as his number 9 movie.
Wow.
But I'm going to read it the way it's written. Number 10, I mean, my boy Connor, for being, I think, 14 or maybe now he's 15 years old, for being a younger guy, like, he has a pretty intense – this is a pretty intense list.
That's what I thought. I was like, is Connor really 14?
Yeah, right. All right, so Connor's number 10 is the hilarious comedy Silence of the Lambs.
Nonstop romp.
Right. And then number 9, the classic drama Raiders of the Lost Ark. And then the very light Good, Bad, and the Ugly, which, by the way, is on my top 10 list. Another one on my top 10 list, Connor's number 7 is Good Will Hunting. Number 6, Rocky. Number 5, Jaws. Jaws, by the way, in case you're listening, is playing at the Penn Cinema Drive-In Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. It's also playing Monday, but it's sold out on Monday. So number 5 was Jaws. Number 4 was Titanic, which I know is Marley Bear's number 1 movie. Number 3, Ocean's 11, also on my list, I think. Or at least it's one of my favorite movies, I'll say. Mm-hmm. Number 2, The Departed.
That's interesting. I'm not a fan of this movie, but many people love it.
You know, here's the thing. I love this movie only because of how much I loved it when I saw it. But last week, you and I were talking about movies that we got talking about because of The Usual Suspects.
Right, right, yeah.
And we were saying, like, once you know the twist, it's you know, hard to hold up. So I will say I have a little bit of that with The Departed, which you know, now that I know exactly how it all plays out, it takes a little bit away. But I don't have a problem if a guy wants to put The Departed as the number two movie. Number one, Quentin Tarantino, in my opinion, the all-time classic Tarantino movie, Pulp Fiction. I got no problem with that being a number one movie. I think that's a brilliant choice. And my boy Connor, you got a real future watching these movies, man. You're going to do something fun. That's awesome.
That's awesome. So cool.
I bet you're a cool kid. We have another top 10 list. You want to handle this one?
Yeah, sure. This is from Marley Ketchum, or as I like to call Marley, get a less squeaky chair, Dad. Ketchum.
Squeaky chair Ketchum.
Yeah. And she sent in her top 10 list, and she was like, here it is.
I know, before you read this, I know that her list, her number one movie is at the top of that list.
Okay.
So you need to read it from the bottom up.
Okay. All right. She said number 10, Jumanji, any of them.
Any of them.
Put them in.
Awesome.
Ocean's 8.
Ocean's 8, girl power, baby.
And we got Knives Out, which is awesome. Us, the Penn Cinema podcast.
Marley likes a horror movie. Like, she's got no problem with a good scare.
That's a parent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And speaking of parents, she likes The Parent Trap. It's the next one.
That's the Lindsay Lohan version. I can vouch for which version, because when she was a young buck, we watched this thing on freaking repeat in my house.
Every day.
Like, every day, over and over and over. I was surprised that Aquamarine wasn't on the list.
Then she follows it up with Now You See Me, which didn't we just report there's going to be a third one, potentially?
Yeah.
The Greatest Showman. Then Gone Girl.
It always surprises me how much she loves Gone Girl.
Yeah, these top two, I was a little, they were kind of out of left field for me. Gone Girl and Saving Mr. Banks.
Oh, man, what a beautiful movie.
Yeah. And then she
You know why she loved Saving Mr. Banks?
Why is that?
Because the movie's all about rescuing the dad.
Oh, clearly.
She's always looking out for the dad. She's always got my back. Anytime I'm getting abused, she's like, I got you, Dad. You're all right. You're okay. It's all right. Don't stress out. I love you.
Straight up Papa's girl. I got
you. Yeah.
I got you. And then she ends it all.
The number one movie. The
number one movie. The biggest sinker of them all. So that's awesome.
How do you argue with Titanic? I don't have a problem with anybody putting Titanic as their number one movie. Do you?
Real talk for a minute?
He wants real talk.
Yeah. I've never seen Titanic.
Oh, my God. Oh, what? Oh, my God. David Bolton.
I was just saying, my man, when it came out, the friends that I normally went to movies, they either weren't allowed to see it because of the topless scene, or they had already seen it. And so I didn't have anyone to go with. And then when it came out on video, everyone was always like, nah, it's too long for hanging out, like too much while hanging out.
All right, here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
Because one of the reasons why this is one of my favorite movies is because Amy and I saw it in a movie theater when it came out. And while I was watching the movie, I was thinking to myself, this is why I love movie theaters. Like, this movie is built for a big screen.
Yeah.
Right. So you and me and Marley,
okay,
and we'll invite anybody else who wants to come. We're going to watch Titanic at Penn Cinema in Theater 5 on a big screen the way it was meant to be seen.
Nice. Awesome.
He said he never saw it. All right.
Over there having a heart attack.
Yeah. So this episode of the Penn Cinema podcast is being filmed before a live studio audience.
You can only hear Penn's half of the conversation.
Right. So you think you have it rough listening to the Penn Cinema podcast. Imagine if you could only hear one of us. Just when you thought it couldn't get worse. Yeah. We found a way.
But I want to just bring us back to before we started recording. You asked her, you said, is it weird you can only hear me and not David. And she said, I like it better this way.
She said it's probably better that way.
Yeah, yeah. That's putting me in my next downward spiral of life. I'm just kidding. All right, so then the mystery gobble hit us up. And this is what I love about the mystery gobble.
We might need to change his name, but go ahead.
Yeah. He's not afraid to write us an email that makes it blatantly obvious he hasn't been listening to the show. And comes out with, hey, you know, Avatar 2 is now filming in New Zealand. And it's like, bro, we've been talking about it.
You know how, like, little kids in the 50s, there'd be like some weird old man that would sit on the corner, like in his rocking chair, and they'd call him like Old Man Richardson or something like that, right? Like probably like a Scooby-Doo character like that. So I think we should stop calling him the Mystery Gobble and start calling him Old Man Gibble.
Old Man Gibble.
Old Man Gibble wrote in. And he would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for you kids.
I like it. I like it.
Classic.
Oh, man. So that does us for listener notes, questions, lists, and answers. Of course, we want to hear from you. So if you've got a top 10 list, you've got anything you want to talk about movies wise, or fabled relationship advice, because we're so good at that, hit us up at podcast@penncinema.com.
Should we tell them about our new podcast? It'll be the third podcast for you. You got the Dune Saga.
Yeah.
And you got the Penn Cinema podcast.
Right.
And our newest one, the relationship podcast. Yeah.
ask Penn and David. It'll be called.
You think we know nothing about movies? Wait till you find out what we know about relationships.
Yeah, it's even less.
It's even less. All that and less.
Well, something that we do know about is what we've been doing this week.
There you go.
So
I had a really busy week, so I'll go first because I'm just going to skim over my list.
Okay.
So we have an interesting dynamic in the house. Me and Kayla and sometimes Marley and sometimes Amy are really into this show on Netflix with Andrea Savage called I'm Sorry. We think it's funny. It's a little bit raunchy. It's a little bit graphic, but it's funny. It's a good, you know, funny. What do you call it? Like a sitcom, maybe. And then Marley and I, and sometimes Kayla and sometimes Amy, are really into Good Girls, which is pretty hilarious. I watched The Joker and was reminded. I started watching The Joker and was reminded of how freaking dark. Like the Joker is not a. You don't casually just watch Joker.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? Like that's an emotional commitment. So I watched part of Joker and then. I also have been watching Dark season 2, which I'm loving as much as ever. And speaking of depression, I watched on Netflix that show Our Planet.
Oh.
I mean, it's a beautiful documentary. It's an incredible show, but it's also incredibly depressing because it's like, I mean, just the shit that we're doing to our climate. And I mean, not that that's news, but the way this documentary is shown is sort of through the eyes of the animals. And it's just heartbreaking to see some of the impact it has on some of the animals and their families and their children and, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's just, it's a beautiful, important series. But from my point of view, at least, it's tough to watch. And then last but not least, our family is getting ready to jump on the Space Force bandwagon.
Oh, boy.
You familiar with Space Force?
Yeah.
Steve
Carell.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're gonna jump on that. Have you watched it?
No.
No. Looks funny though, right?
It does. It does. I didn't do a whole lot of stuff. I was telling Penn before the show my air conditioner broke. So other than Lord of the Rings, I was like trying to not be in my very hot couch. Just, I don't know, trying to stay as cool as I can. I did try and watch the Netflix series Lost in Space, the remake of the classic. And I'm not sure how I feel about it. It's different. The acting is like give or take. Some of it's really good. Some of it's really bad. I got a couple episodes in. I don't know if I'll go any further. But I did start to read Ex Machina, that big giant book I showed you last week that they're making a movie out of.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's very different than what I thought. It's like it's a weird view of like superhero. It's like, okay, this guy was a superhero. but he gave it up and now he's mayor of New York. And it's like all about the politics of trying to be a mayor when he used to be a vigilante and all that stuff. So it's very different. It sounds super boring, but it's actually not, it's well written. So that's kind of what I got up to this week, that and melting. So
this has, this Ex Machina has nothing to do with the Alex Garland film with Alicia Vikander or whatever.
No, this is the, this is different. This is
okay.
It's Ex Machina written by Brian K. Vaughan. Yeah, it's about a guy who developed the ability to speak to complex machines. Oof. So anything from like a gun up, he can just tell a gun to not shoot and it won't shoot. And that kind of thing.
Wow,
it's kind of
all weird, right. But okay,
yeah, yeah. So that was my week in a jiffy. So there you go. But so next week, Moneyball. That's it, folks. We are reviewing a sports movie, not just because it's the popular thing coming out this week, completely by choice. So mark it down, episode 72, the one that ended it all.
You know, 72 is our lucky number.
Yeah?
Yeah, Amy was born on March 13th, 1972.
Okay.
And March 13th, if you do the math quick, turns out to be the 72nd day of the year. And my number when I played football was usually, although there were some years when it wasn't, but it was usually 72. I was a big slow lineman. So 72 is our family's lucky number. So I have high hopes for episode 72. I think it's perfect that we're using this opportunity to embrace a sports element to the show. I think we're overdue for bringing sports to the show.
Here we do it. This is the one. We got the sports audience.
I hope with every fiber of my being that as a result of watching Moneyball, you become this blossoming, like, obsessed with baseball fan.
Goodness. Dude, I spent some years of my life living in Philly. It's not going to happen. I was exposed at a young age. I'm immune.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
So, all right. So, of course, if you want to help support the show, the best way to do that is to just tell a friend, hey, check out the Penn Cinema podcast.
What if I don't have any friends, David?
Well, we're your friends.
You do have friends. You do have friends. You got me and David, and our email is podcast@penncinema.com. Tell us about the Penn Cinema podcast.
Yeah, please do. So once again, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care and
party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.